KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, it's partly cloudy and 39 degrees. We look forward to be partly cloudy today with a high around 60. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. The news is brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments in Atlantic. In local news, the Atlantic Area Chamber of Commerce has announced the hiring of a new executive director. The board of directors offered the position to Programs Director Bailey Smith, and she has accepted the position, which begins immediately. In a press release, Chamber Board President Rob Clausen said they're happy to have Bailey on board as the new executive director. He added that they're confident that under her direction, the Chamber will continue to thrive and serve its members. Smith started working at the Atlantic Area Chamber of Commerce 2 years ago, beginning as the Marketing and Public Relations Associate, and moving up to the program director position a year ago. She said she spent the last 2 years learning from an exceptional director who taught her a lot about the organization, its membership, and the community. Bailey said she's eager to dive in and continue to implement the programs and events they have in store for their membership, and that she's loved working closely with their members and the community, and looking forward to continuing to keep the moving the organization in a positive, forward-thinking way. Creston police say a Union County man was arrested this morning on an OWI first offense charge. 40-year-old Gabriel George Looney of Kent was arrested at the intersection of Highway 34 and Cromwell Road in Creston. Looney was later released on $1,000 bond. Police say a 79-year-old Omaha woman embezzled more than $1.2 million from her employer and blew it at gambling at casinos. The Omaha World Herald says Annie Carbolito pleaded no contest on Tuesday to two counts of theft by deception and two counts of tax evasion. Her sentencing is set for May 17th. Investigators say Carbolito was a bookkeeper at the Travel Fair Incorporated and had repeatedly written checks for cash and hid her theft as expenses so she could obtain money for gambling. The court affidavit said Carbolito had gambled and lost roughly $1.9 million since 2003 at the Ameristar Casino in Council Bluffs. The Sac County Sheriff's Office has an notable man who was wanted by authorities on three counts of child endangerment and drug-related charges has been apprehended in Council Bluffs. 43-year-old Stephen Ray Campbell was wanted in connection with a March 7th search warrant served at Campbell's house in Otobolt. Elsewhere in state news, thousands of Iowans will be celebrating this St. Patrick's Day with green beer or other forms of alcohol. Police are hoping those people are traveling with someone who is sober. Sergeant Scott Bright is a spokesman for the Iowa Department of Public Safety.
I guess if people are going to go out and celebrate St. Patrick's Day is to remember to take a designated driver with them, that if they're going to go to a party or to a bar, to take a designated driver and have them drive them home.
Last year, St. Patrick's Day fell on a Thursday, and between the March 17th to 20th period, police across the state had arrested 259 people for OWI. Sergeant Bright says a lot of Iowans begin their St. Patrick's partying early in the day.
They have a long weekend, and they start to drink early in the morning, and then, you know, we see a lot of people driving that are intoxicated.
According to figures from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, during a typical St. Patrick's Day weekend, more than 25% of all crash fatalities involved alcohol. That figure rises to 50% between the hours of midnight and 6 a.m. There have already been 53 fatalities from traffic crashes in Iowa this year. 10 of the 13 members of a state Senate committee have approved a sweeping gun bill that cleared the Iowa House last week. Republican Senator Dan Dawson of Council Bluffs expects the bill to easily clear the 50-member Senate as well.
Firearms rights are important rights to Iowans. I mean, one of the reasons why we have a Republican-controlled legislature is because of people valuing those firearms rights. That's why we have this bill before us here today.
Dawson is planning to propose some technical tweaks in the bill, but he says the main components will remain intact. And that includes stand your ground provisions for gun owners, removing the duty to retreat in a public place when faced with danger to life or property. Dawson says Iowa is a state with a pro-gun culture.
You can talk to a Democrat or Republican out there. It is a deeply embedded personal belief and right here in, you know, rural area, urban areas here in Iowa, and we will be passing, you know, firearms legislation here this session.
Senator Nate Bolton, a Democrat from Des Moines, was one of two committee members who voted against the bill. He has several concerns, including the part of the bill that would allow permit holders to carry a gun inside the state capitol.
We've got to vet this very carefully before we do anything.
The bill also includes language the backers say will give citizens grounds to sue cities or counties that establish gun-free zones. Well, officials with the Immigration and Customs Enforcement Service, or ICE, have arrested 26 people in Minnesota, making the largest ICE operation in the state since the Trump administration vowed to increase immigration enforcement. The arrests are part of a broader operation that also resulted in 32 arrests in Nebraska, 23 here in Iowa, 4 in North Dakota, and 1 in South Dakota. ICE says the operation was routine and targeted those with criminal convictions. It also targeted immigrants who illegally re-entered the U.S. after prior deportations and immigrants with orders for removal, both low priorities under the Obama administration. Brad Kapok works at the Incarnation Catholic Church in Minneapolis, which caters to the Latino community. He told the Minneapolis Star Tribune that aside from the shift in priorities, the operation appeared similar to those that took place under the Obama administration. Republicans in the Iowa House have passed a bill that would overhaul how workers are compensated for on-the-job injuries, though they backed off on some key proposals. The GOP majority chamber voted 55-38 Thursday to revamp standards for hurt workers in Iowa, including reducing benefits for shoulder injuries and decreasing coverage for injuries tied to a pre-existing condition. The legislation will now be considered by the Senate. Republicans scrapped some initial provisions, like a plan that would have changed the definition of a substantial workplace injury and a measure that would have ended permanent total disability benefits at the age of 67. Representative Gary Carlson, a Muscatine Republican, says the changes came after concerns within the party over the legislation's consequences. Democrats say despite the changes, the bill still unfairly penalizes injured workers. Supervisors have moved toward raising the minimum wage in Lee County, despite pending state legislation that would undo their decision. The board passed the county measure at its first reading on Tuesday. The measure faces two more board votes in the affirmative before raising the wage to $8.20 an hour on May the 1st in that eastern Iowa county. The Iowa House has approved and sent to the Senate a measure that would ban local governments from raising the minimum wage. Supervisor Don Hunold said that if the board increases the minimum wage now and the state reverses it, the board's vote will have been a waste of time. But he says that if the state measure doesn't pass the final muster, then fine, we'll move on. The council in the central Iowa community of Eldora has fired its city administrator. The council voted 3-2 Tuesday night to oust Bruce Bierma immediately. Mayor Bob Jeske says Bierma's contract allows him about 3 months of severance pay. The reasons for Bierma's firing have not been disclosed, but Jeske said that issues had arisen that he thinks were nothing out of the ordinary for anyone in Bierma's position. Bierma had been an Eldora city administrator since December of 2014. And the Iowa chapter of the Sierra Club and a group of landowners are appealing to the Iowa Supreme Court their lawsuits challenging the Dakota Access Pipeline. In documents filed Thursday, the Sierra Club says the Iowa Utilities Board refused to consider whether the crude oil pipeline will promote public convenience and necessity, which is a requirement in Iowa law. Sierra Club attorney Wallace Taylor said the Utilities Board did not discuss the need for or benefits from the service alleged to be provided to Iowans by the pipeline originating in the northwest North Dakota and carrying oil underground through South Dakota, Iowa, and into southern Illinois. Landowners had challenged the board's decision allowing the pipeline company to forcefully take their land under eminent domain. The district court judge rejected those arguments back in February. The news was brought to you this hour by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments, at 601 Poplar in Atlantic. Call 243-5796. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.